Hi, if you record your name and reason for calling, I'll see if this person is available.
Aaron from INS Law.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Reed?
Yeah, it is Mr. Reed speaking, yeah.
Hi, Mr. Reed, this is Aaron calling you from INS Law in regards to your Scottish Redress application, sir.
Hi, like I said yesterday, I got contact with must have been for a different company, but me obviously initiating Ken and like the claims online, came like putting in my details and all that, and I spoke to someone yesterday, and I was upset, and I was traumatised, and I hung up the phone on me and everything, because I couldn't explain the exact dates to them.
Yeah.
But obviously I was in care through the council, well before 2004 in foster care, and I was in St Mary's Secure Unit in Glasgow, St Philip's Secure Unit, all them, and I was in a couple of foster cares and a care home before 2004, and the man was really no nice to me. I didn't get your company, because obviously I emailed you saying I'm not talking to you again. But I think it was a different company, to be honest.
Okay, sir. I'll just have a look at the notes and just see what that conversation entailed of.
It was a Glasgow region, boy, wasn't it? Are you an English company, obviously?
Yeah, so we're the English law firm.
Someone from Glasgow that phoned me yesterday from a company in Glasgow.
Right. Okay, Mr. Reed, yeah, I do understand that. I understand, obviously, that you had that phone call yesterday as well, and you know, it was quite abrupt, obviously, from what you're telling me. With it being still, you know, fresh and whatnot, would you be willing to proceed in going through yourself, or would you like a few days to...
No, I'm ready to do it. Long story short, right, my mum died when I was 9. In 2001, my mum died.
Yeah.
I went to stay with my mum's mum, because my dad was on drugs. I went to stay with my mum's mum for a year, and ended up in care until I was 2, and ended up in foster care with Aberdeen City Council in Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay. So from 2002 until the date that you guys are all this going on about, I was in care as a looked after child for 2 years. I was actually physically moved out of Aberdeen because I didn't have space for me. Moved down to England. I know you can't deal with that, but I was moved to England to a home there for 3 months, and I was moved back up to my hometown of Aberdeen and back in my long-term foster carer that I got put into, obviously, until I left when I was 16. So from the age from like 2002 up until about 2008 or 2009 when I was 16, I went to a long-term foster carer. Well, obviously, this was all started well before 2004, and the man yesterday just got annoyed, man. I started being really nasty, and I was like, I'm not here to get this.
Alright, well, what I'll do is
social work regarding this, because obviously I've got a massive file with social work. I've been a looked after child since I was a baby. But when I found my mum dead when I was 9, it was in the papers and everything. That was in 2001, September 25th, 2001. I stayed in my mum's mum for about 6 months, roughly 6 months, maybe less. But it fell apart, and that's when I went to stay in the foster care.
Yeah.
It was in foster care to Aberdeen City Council. Care was taken off my grand. I was care with part of Aberdeen City Council in 2002. So from 2002 until 2004, I was in and around foster cares, and I was in a care home in Aberdeen as well. I can't remember the name of it, but I was in and around a few different places in Aberdeen, but I was in a few foster carers. And obviously, I have their addresses, and obviously, I was through a council. It wasn't like it's on record, you know what I mean? I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he wasn't very nice. He was like, tell me exactly where you were on this day. So I told him where I was, and I told him that I was with my long-term foster carer at this point. And obviously, stuff had happened to me in that placement that I've never spoke to anybody regarding. And my foster carer died no long after that. He crashed his car like 2 or 3 years after.
Yeah.
This had all happened to me. And the man was just like, oh, I don't believe you. I need the truth in that. Like, why would I be initiating all this if I'm lying?
Wow, yeah, no, of course.
That's what he said. So when I heard that word, that was it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely understand.
I clearly want to go ahead with it because I feel like I'm entitled to it. One of my friends, who are at the same age as me, in the same situation. I know everybody's different, but he's in the same situation as me. He was in the same council as me. He actually ended up in the same home in England as me for a few months, and then brought back up to Aberdeen.
Yeah.
He was, and he's just received £13,000.
Yeah, well. Okay.
From the redress, so he's been in the same sort of circumstances around the same sort of time. So I understand I must be entitled to some sort of something.
But yeah, no, of course.
But obviously, I want to discuss at the same time with with the redress, obviously, and a lawyer is what happened to me whilst I was in foster care and the abuse that I received that I've never spoke to anybody regarding. And it's only this that's made me build up the courage to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely understand, Mr. Rees. And obviously, yeah, I'd be more than happy to grab each and every detail I can possible in order to, you know, get some sort of brief statement from yourself.
I understand that. That's what I'm needing. I just think the person yesterday just probably had that much numbers in front of that much people with one. He couldn't be bothered because there wasn't enough experience, and I don't need that.
Yeah, of course. Of course, I understand that. But just for data protection, Mr. Reed, can you confirm your date of birth for me, please?
Yeah, it's 10/5/1992.
1992.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. No, not a problem. Okay. And am I able to grab your an address that you're residing in at the minute, please?
Yeah, my address is do you want my postcode first so you can search it, or do you want my address?
Yeah, go on, do the postcode.
KY2, so Kilo Yankee 2, 6 Alpha November, 6 AM.
And is that Valley Gardens?
Yeah, 153 Valley Gardens, so that's right, yeah. No, I've actually got my kids like full time custody in my kids now, so I'm actually doing between nine and three, I just chill out, just drop the girls off at school, so I have three kids.
Yeah.
One, I just dropped him off at school, and obviously my son starts as he's older.
Not a problem, sir.
So I take it, are you a lawyer specifically, or who are you, or what are you, like, in-laws, I take it, a lawyer from England?
Yeah, so we're a law firm from England.
I need to get a bit more information before I go ahead. Like, are you a proper law firm, obviously? Yeah.
Yeah, so we're a proper law firm. We have a.
Are you a lawyer or are you a sort of an assistant or what are you?
No, so my job is I'm a claims handler.
Just wondering what the stages are and what it is, because obviously I've never done that.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, so we're a law firm and we have many departments who deal with
my friend said it was quite easy. He said as long as you've been in care before 2004, it's on record because I was in through a council the same as him. He said he didn't have to do anything. He said it took 3 months and he got paid £30,000. I can't, everybody's not the same, but surely it can't be that easy. I would have done it a long time before now.
Yeah, obviously when it comes to the time frame, we recommend around about 6 to 10 months. And we put that there for a bit of a safety ballpark figure. What we do behind the scenes is we try and get this case dealt with as soon as we can. More so for yourself.
So how does it work out? So can I ask you a question? I don't know if you understand this, but obviously when I was in foster care, this was about 2003. I was placed in my long-term foster care placement with Aberdeen City Council in Scotland.
Yeah.
I was abused by my foster carer, but he's dead now. How do I go about that? Is there anything I can do about that?
The only thing that you can do when it comes to the Scottish Redress Scheme is that scheme in itself, they don't hold individuals accountable. They hold
just specifically for being in care, you would receive something. So if I was in care, obviously, 4004, or in foster care, or in a home, or in anything like that, it's just for that. Is that all it's for? It's not for trying to go get anybody in it. But what is that? What you're meaning? Like, this is separate.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, anybody who was in care, obviously, as you said before, 2004, if they've suffered, abuse or faced trauma.
That's why I'm doing it. The amount of times I was moved about, the amount of different people I met, different foster carers I looked at in 21st year or two, it was unreal. I just lost my mum, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So what the Scottish Redress Scheme is that it's for the people who obviously have dealt with wrongdoing in their care settings from the local authorities. So the Scottish Government brought out this scheme to be able to deal with these cases in a separate matter from it being civilly, because there's a big backlog. Occurring civilly, so they brought out this scheme. So the scheme is kind of like going through a civil matter, but you're not going through a civil matter, shall we say? This scheme deals with the
so what is it you actually do? I take it you just confirm I was in care. These were obviously like what actually happened? Like what is the threshold for you being entitled to it, or what? Like, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so
I was in care obviously before 2004, and it's on record, so that's not a question. So what else, like what?
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll gather all your information, and then we'll see where you're registered with your GP, make sure we've got your care settings correct, and then we'll request for your records from from obviously your medical records and your care records.
Aye, so you'll have all that, so it'll be easy. Like, I didn't need to provide that. Do you say that for me?
So we do all the work for you.
Right, that's fine.
and then what will happen is, not myself, but another team of mine in my office, that they'll get in touch with you further down the line and gather a full in detail witness statement.
Yeah.
Once they've gone through that witness statement with yourself for each care setting, on unfortunately what's happened and how it's made you feel, we'll gather all that evidence together, put that with your application, and then present that to the Scottish Government. The Scottish Government will then give us a date of when they're going to be looking at your case, which is dealt by an independent panel behind closed doors. So obviously yourself or myself don't have to attend anywhere. All we'll do is your law firm is we'll tell you the date of when the panel will be looking at your case, and then the conclusion to your case as well.
Right, that'd be great.
Okay, so what I'll do, sir, is I'll go through the application process with yourself, making sure I put all the details that I need, and then I'll send you out a few forms via email for you to just electronically sign, and it'll come straight back to me, and then we can start requesting for your records. Okay, Mr. Reed. So, is there any type of communication preferences that you'd like? Email, phone, post, SMS.
Phone, I would probably prefer.
Just phone, okay.
We can do both phone and email.
Yeah, okay. And what about texts? Are we okay to text you for anything?
Yeah, text as well, yeah.
Okay,
perfect.
Okay. And do you have any terminal illnesses, Mr. Reed?
Do you have any what?
Any terminal illnesses?
No, I don't know, not.
Okay. And would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
No, I would not.
No. Okay. And when it comes to the Scottish the redress payment scheme, what they offer, you have two types of options. You can either take a fixed payment of £10,000 from the Scottish Government, or you can take the individually assessed payments, which is what you are applicable for, so £100,000. They both have the same time scale of conclusion. So if you go for the 10 or the 100, they won't be concluded in the same time. You won't get one quicker than the other. But obviously, I can't advise you on what to do. But from what you've just told me in the
meeting, you want to fight for the maximum.
You want to fight for what
Mark tells me would go to Rindy. I was placed into foster care, and the amount of times I was moved and upheaved and things like that happened, and obviously I'll discuss that down the line, but I know I would be looking for a full amount.
Yeah, okay. That's the problem. And have you
£10,000 doesn't cut it for me.
Yeah, of course, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, and have you applied to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself at all?
Have I what?
Have you applied for the advanced payments from the Scottish Redress Scheme at all?
What's that like?
So you can go online and as I said, you can pay for the you can apply for the £10,000 instead of going through with the case in itself. So I'm just clarifying, have you done that online or anything already?
No, not yet.
No, okay, that's not the problem. Okay, and was you only known by Mr. Lee Reed in care, or was you known by a different name?
I know, it was the only name I had. My middle name's Ian.
Okay, and the only reason I'm gonna ask these two questions now is one of our institutions that we request records from, which is National Records of Scotland, The way they archive their files is they archive your files against your mother and father's name. So
yeah, my mother's the same. My mother's maiden name is the same.
Yep, okay. And what's your mum's first name?
Nicola. Nicola. N-I-C-O-L-A.
Nicola Reed. And what's your father's name, please?
I have no dad. I have had no dad on record.
Okay.
There's no dad on my birth certificate.
Okay. And whereabouts are you registered with your GP, sir?
My GP, I am in Fife, Scotland now. So where I live, I've moved obviously from Aberdeen. I stay in Fife in Scotland now.
Okay, so what's the name of the practice, sorry?
Right, it's called Scooney Medical Practice. So it's S-C-O-O-N-I-E, Scooney Medical Practice. And Leven, L-E-V-E-N, Fife.
Ah, yeah, down here on Victoria Road.
Yeah, I think so, yeah, is it?
Yeah.
It's in Leven, all this in Fife, yeah.
And whereabouts would you have lived prior to being placed in care, sir?
I live with my family members, my mum and dad.
Okay, and do you remember the name of the road or anything like that?
Where I used to live, yeah. Before I went to the place I moved from, like, you go right into care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. It's 49 Fowler Avenue in Aberdeen.
Which is 49.
F-O-W-L-E-R, Fowler Avenue.
F-O-W-L-E-R,
Fowler Avenue, 49. That's my grand's address. That's where I moved from. It's placed in the care from that address.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Well, I see yesterday when I was explaining this, it must have been a call handler from a different company, obviously, same sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we're giving these old tributes, and I was telling them this information. Oh, you need to tell me the exact time and month, and I'm like, eh? Surely no, I didn't try to tell you the exact month and day.
Yeah, no, of course, because, yeah, it's
I said, you need to go and get my social work player to find it out.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need exact dates.
There's no idea in your office today, eh?
Yeah, just a little bit. We're a very, very busy.
No, exactly how we hear.
No, I do apologise. Shouldn't be hearing that much noise, so I do apologise if you are.
I can't hear anything. It's just muffled noise. I can't hear that.
It's just muffled. Yeah, I get that. Okay, and have you received relevant payments in regards to, like, criminal injuries compensation authorities or anything like that?
No, not. I've never discussed this or went ahead with anything like this at all ever, not.
Okay, and do you have any convictions at all, sir?
I do, yeah, I do have a conviction. One, yeah, from when I was a child, a serious assault with parents and disfigurement.
Okay, that's a problem. And how
when I was a child, it happened when I was 15 and I served a custodial sentence and I was sentenced under the Child Act, so.
Yeah.
It's actually, when I last paid for my records for my work, it's actually off my record now.
Yeah, no. It wasn't longer than 5 years, was it?
What?
How long did you spend it in for your custodial?
Oh, I served two years. I was sentenced 15 and a half years. I served 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's when I was 15. I got out when I was 17.
Yeah.
Does that affect the claim if I have a charge? Like?
No.
I've got a charge because I was in care. That's probably sent me off my head. That's probably why I've got it.
Yeah, no, of course I understand that. No, it would only make a slight impact if you had made someone
a serious charge,
serious offences, really.
I understand that. That's fair enough.
Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna ask you just to obviously get some details for your care settings and stuff now. But you know, I do appreciate that discussion experiences connected to the application can be difficult and upsetting. But yeah, just please take your time during this call if you do need the break, further explanation and support, or would prefer to continue at any time, just let me know, okay?
Yeah.
What I am going to do after getting your care setting records is, yes, I have already explained the Scottish Reader scheme to you, but if obviously you need any further explanations or have any further questions, you're more than welcome to fire away. Okay. I'll explain your options as well when it comes to how you can do the scheme. I'll also explain how INS law works, and then I'll discuss the fundings and fees with you, and then I'll gather as much information as I can from you.
So
it is important that you understand all of your options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm. But you are entitled to apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself, without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Instructor, solicitor or law firm who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting with your application. Under the Scottish Government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assistance with your application, regardless of whether you win or lose your application. But INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. If you decide to instruct us, you would be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. Okay. So our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis, and this means that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. If you do withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on time spent and a success fee as well. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 20%. So the correct figure is 19.2%. So that's 16% plus VAT. But you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap, okay? So it is important that I make it clear that we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of awards that the scheme may reward. But the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which we'll explain in greater detail during this call, of course. Okay. If instructed, we can assist you with whether you're eligible to the scheme, gathering and reviewing evidence for your application. And then what we'll do is we'll then get into the stage of preparing and submitting the application, corresponding with the Scottish Redress Scheme. And we'll further down the line be not giving advice on any offers that are made to yourself. Then on top of that, there is a statutory waiver that you will be signing further down the line if you are happy with the awards that the scheme has given you. And what that statutory waiver is, basically, is if the Scottish Redress Scheme offer is made, we'll fully explain the statutory waiver before you decide whether to accept anything. It is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue any future civil claims related to matters. But you would never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences, okay?
Yes.
But basically, the statutory waiver means it's when you go through the scheme, you can't take, just say, for instance, Aberdeen City Council.
You can't take a civil matter
with them. Okay. If you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing the agreement. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to sign the cancellation. So am I able to grab your potential first care setting that you need? The name, if you remember it.
Well, the first, I can't remember the name, obviously, but it was temporary foster care placement at Aberdeen City Council.
Right, okay, that's not a problem.
So obviously, when I it was 2002 when I got placed into temporary foster care. And I went in around, I think I was maybe in and around five different foster carers before I went to my full-time one in 2002 or maybe 2003. But I know their address. I know my full-time carer's address. I went to it before 2004, obviously, it was a long-term placement. But when I very first went in, obviously, I can't remember the addresses because they're all temporary addresses.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. Can you remember the name of your foster parents at all?
Yeah, I can. It was Keith and Teresa Rooney. They were married, so that was their married maiden name, Rooney, R-O-O-N-E-Y. He's obviously passed away now, but trees are all the same. That's all right.
Yeah, okay. So just so I've got that right, that was temporary foster care between 2002 and 2004.
Well, I'd say between 2001 and 2003, and then I'm at my full-time placement in 2003.
Ah, okay. That's a problem. 2001, 2003.
So I was with Keith and Teresa by 2003, and I was with them for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Then obviously I was 16, like 2006, so I was in foster care for 3 years with them before I was 16, and that was before 2004, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so was it only the one foster care placement with Keith and Rooney, was it? Or was, obviously, I know there could have been a
few. The ones all before it were all temporary places, and I also went to Manchester, a place called the Arnfield Tower. I know you kind of deal with that, but that's where I was placed in between in a temporary placement before I went to Keith and Caesar's place.
Yeah.
I was moved to Manchester for 3 months just until they got the place ready for me, until they were ready to accept me.
Yeah.
So I went from four or five different temporary foster carers in 2002. In the same year, I went to Manchester for 3 months, and then I came back up and moved them to Keith and Teresa. Roughly, I think it was the end of 2002, roughly, maybe mid 2003, and later than that.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, I saw that. Like,
I know their address. I know everyone, but obviously, it was all through the council, so it's obviously all going to be on my records.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When it comes to the temporary placements and whatnot, and then obviously, what I understand, you know, you moved down to Manchester. Was there any abuse or trauma faced before being, you know? Parents?
Yeah, there was constant trauma, and there was older kids that the foster carer was like rough with, like me and the older kids that was there. So there was like physical abuse and mental abuse around. Because I was traumatised, there was a few temporary foster carers that kept me in my room for most of the night and that. Like, that wasn't normal. I was kept in my room for long periods of time with my temporary foster carers. I was actually physically assaulted by kids that were in foster care with me and by one of my foster carers who's an adult.
Yeah. Okay. What I'll do is I'll just confirm these dates with you again, and then if you're happy, I'll save my changes, and then what I'll do is I'll grab a little brief statement from yourself.
Yeah.
Obviously, your temporary foster care, and then, you know, your care under Keith and Teresa Rooney as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because also, I'm not discussing it, but I was with Keith and Teresa for a few years, okay? And when I left them, like, obviously everybody thought that they were, like, this amazing couple that's done a lot for me when the husband was abusive to me before he died and before I left there. And that was maybe just after 2004 when I stayed with it, when it started happening, because it was just a year for me to live there before it started happening with them. But leading up to that, 2002, 2003, 2004, I was traumatized. My mum had just died. I was moved to different temporary foster care. I was kept in my room for long periods of time. I was hit by one of my foster carers with a book as well. Like, so there was a lot of different scenarios that happened that shouldn't have been happening, obviously, that I thought that was normal at the time.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. Because you're only, you know, young and, you know...
Yeah, I was only 11. I just lost my parent and I didn't have anybody around me. And obviously, I was just been placed in the foster care. And like I say, I went to, I think it was four temporary foster carers within the first 6 months, because obviously they were all just short-term placements and there was a lot of trouble and I never settled. This was all due to being traumatised and due to abuse and due to the fact that other kids and other people were being abused beside me and I was watching this happening. And that's why I couldn't settle in 4 or 5. I went to Arnfield Tower in Manchester in 2003. So obviously the year leading up to that, 2002, leading up to the year 2003, I'd been in 5 different foster carers, or 4 or 5 of them. One of them assaulted me, which I put on record as well at the time. A lady hit me where it was recorded at the time. Because it was a police incident, police came to the house and obviously it was all recorded.
Yeah.
But nothing ever came back with all that. And that was all with the before 2004.
Just so I have got that right then, so we've got the temporary foster care between, let's say, 2001-2003.
Yeah.
And then we've got
Keith and Teresa, I was from like 2003 to about 2006, I would say.
Yeah.
So the government has 2005.
All I can do is obviously I can only put this up to 2004.
But obviously, I was with them before 2004. I was with them for a few years. I was in placement. All this was well before 2004. And when I went with them, I'd been with them maybe for about 6 months or a year before 2004, I'm sure. I'm sure that obviously it all happened quite quickly within a few years between 2002 and 2004.
Yeah. So that's what I'm just trying to clarify with you, Mr. Mead, is roughly like the correct dates. So am I right in putting maybe 2002 to 2004 then?
Yeah, I would say I.
Okay. Yeah. Just obviously I've got that right, because what the details that I'm putting in here is going on to your Scottish Regis application, for me to send off to the museum. So I just need to have the kind of roughly correct dates.
Yeah. I gave you roughly the correct dates. Yeah. But like I'm saying, Keith and Caesar, I moved in with them before 2004. I know you're trying to deal with an Oscar 2004, but I was already with them for a long time placement for 3 years, and I've been with them since 2003.
Yeah.
But I was in foster care for 2 years leading up to that.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
They were the very last place I was at.
So
when we put the
contract button, it now sends it. Okay. So for your temporary foster care, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna start getting a brief statement. So could you kind of like talk me through what happened, throughout temporary foster care?
So when I first moved to temporary foster care, this was my first, I'd just been split up from my family, my mum had died. I had the foster carer had locked me in my room, well, not locked, but had kept me in my room for large periods of time.
When you click on it,
How old was you?
I was only 10 or 11, 10 or 11 at the most, between 10 and 11.
Well, we don't want
that.
We want
to
save it. No, but you
need to
save it. So,
there was times when there was like emotional abuse. I'd be left out. I'd be left in the house, and she'd take her own kids out with her. There'd be times I wouldn't get to eat with the family at the same time. It was all emotional abuse and controlling behaviour that shouldn't have been happening at any time. And this was my first time to foster care. I stayed with them Bucksburn in Aberdeen. So this place was in the area of Bucksburn in Aberdeen where this was happening, and there was only one foster care in that area. And then when I moved from there, I went to a lady's in Dundee. That's where the assault happened, when she hit me with a boot when I ran away from her house. So this was all below 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to go to
the
So obviously the relationship broke down with that lady at St. Buxton in Aberdeen. After all that, I'd reported to the social worker that I wasn't being treated right and I wanted to move somewhere else on the movement. I went to a lady in Inverurie in Aberdeen for a few nights, and then I went down to Dundee and stayed with a lady in Dundee, and that's where I was like, it was even worse. I was in my room for a large period of time. I was assaulted. I had food taken off me. I was only left out to eat certain foods. And it got to the point where obviously they said assaulted me that day, and I ran out of the house and informed the police obviously and the social work, and I was moved back to Keith and Caesar's. Obviously this was in about 2003, and I got moved to Keith and Caesar Unis.
Yeah. Okay, but just going back to the book incident, was you assaulted, or was it over the head, was it?
Yeah, it's a hit more the head, but yeah, I'm a virgin.
Yeah, so just
delete that everyone, for also giving emails and that was only for leaving a Haribo packet in my room. My room was spotless. It was only for leaving rubbish on the in the room. I think I'd only been there 2 nights, so it was a temporary placement, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was recorded obviously the police incident, because I said to the police that I was hit obviously and I saw what by her, and that's why I didn't want to go back there now.
Okay, and you being hit over the head, was that by a staff member, was it?
It was a foster care or so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm holding on the chain.
that's back end the way we have different numbers. So it, that's the same and all where we front end back end.
JP, you're gonna make back end
for okay. So obviously, yeah, I've just gone into detail with the book situation.
Yeah.
Going from obviously that to foster care, what else? Well, so when you've been maybe placed elsewhere, what else would you say happened to you in that temporary setting? Did you get assaulted or beaten up by anybody else?
Yeah, there was always a. There was always the other kids always at this placement that always said, I'd been assaulted two or three times. There was times when I'd been quid stolen off me and that. There's been times I'd been hit and punched, obviously, when foster carers wasn't there. There was loads of stuff like happened by that by people I was in there with as well. But the main incident that traumatised me was that foster carer hitting me over the head whilst my mum had just died and I was waiting on getting a new family to live with.
Yeah.
And that sent me off my head, to be honest. I went off the rails after that. Obviously, the foster carer denied that, but it was all recorded in the police statements and that because I was adamant that it said hit me, so it was denying that it said hit me.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Did any of the other children at all, like, you know, beat you, name call?
A few times in a few different places. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Even in Manchester, when I got me, I know you're not allowed to deal with that. You're in England, but before I moved to her in Dundee, I was in Manchester, and someone tried to sexually assault me in Manchester as well. That's a child, which I reported to the staff as well. If it wasn't for me stopping them, it probably would have happened, and the police were involved all that. There was armed police there and everything to arrest them.
Yeah.
So that, but obviously that was in Arnfield Tower in Manchester. That was like in between the time the foster carers at the time for it. I was there for 3 months.
Okay, so for the temporary foster care so far, Mr. Reed, what I've written down for yourself is, I've just been split up from my family with my mum passing. I was 10 or 11 years old. I didn't like being in foster care and away from my family as I felt left out and isolated from everybody else. I couldn't build relationships with anybody as I was out of my comfort zone. I was assaulted over the head with a book from a temporary foster carer for having a street rapper on the floor. My room was otherwise spotless and I always kept clean. I felt like this wasn't the safe for something so minor. This was a recorded incident with the police. There was, of course, other children around me and they would make fun of me, name call, beat me and take things to humiliate me. I didn't enjoy being a temporary foster care as I just wanted to be back with my family. Is there anything else that you would like to add to that or anything to add?
No, that's okay.
Okay. And then moving on to Mr. and Mrs. Rooney, how would you say your time was there?
To start with, it was okay, but it was mid-2003, Mr. Rooney actually tried to sexually assault me. He tried to put his hands down my shoulders, and I never reported that to anybody at the time, because I was there for like 3 years of a long-term placement. But like 6 months after that happened, I also lost the head and started saying to people what stuff had happened, but nobody really believed me, so I just got put back to the back of my mind. I went to the secure unit from Keith and Teresa's house. I went straight to the secure unit.
Yeah.
Which was always good for Phillips and Phillips secure unit. This was maybe in 2004. I went to that secure unit someplace, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, and so how, if you don't mind me asking, how did Mr. Bruni try to sexually assault you? What was it that he may have done?
We were lying on the sofa, and tried to put his hands on my trousers, which I stopped him. Obviously, I tried to do it 3 or 4 times, I stopped him, and left the room. And he was obviously sexually aroused at the time, I could see that, so...
Yeah.
I think by the time I built up the courage to even speak about it, Keith had died in a car crash long after I left it.
Yeah. When Mr. Rooney was putting his hands down your pants, how did that make you feel?
Horrible, but then that's just good.
So when you said Mr. Rooney was poorly, was he did he have like dementia or anything like that, was it?
Was it what, sorry?
I don't know if I heard you right. I thought you said when Mr. Rooney was putting his hands on the time charge and stuff, was he not well? Was he poorly or anything?
No,
okay, that's my bad. But you said that he was poorly as in he was
But yeah, is that right? Yeah,
okay. Okay, and how come it wasn't reported, Mr. Reed?
I was that scared and I went and into the security and all of a sudden I didn't feel like I had the support around me to report it.
Yeah.
I was too young, I was too scared to report it and didn't feel like I had the support. I still never reported it, I still never spoke to anybody about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I honestly do appreciate you opening up to me and
But no, that's getting rolling, doing this, getting logged, I want it all logged because it's going to help my case. This should all be helped. I'm in a situation now where I'm affected still by it. Yeah, I'm 34. Yeah.
Okay, so with these statements being as CEO, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you out a couple of documents just for you to have a look over and sign. What it will be is one of them will be, as I mentioned earlier, a conditional fee agreement. So it just explains our no win, no fee basis, the percentage being 93% or capped on 20%. A letter of authority, which is called an LOA. A letter of authority just basically means you give us the right to act on your behalf, obtain your records from doctors, hospitals, NHS trusts, you know, care settings, anything like that. You just give us that right to act on your behalf, basically. And then another document which explains in detail the fees behind us as a law firm, as I've already explained to you.
Yeah.
And then there's a part one and part three of your Scottish Redress application. You'd be able to look over yourself, and you know, I don't think on that box there is a sign, but don't quote me wrong on that. But yeah, by all means, you can have a look, see if there's any information, or all of your information that I've gathered, whether it's correct, you know, address, date of birth, email address, all that kind of stuff. All that will be on there. Just have a little skim through, and then when you're, you know, ready, just to get that document signed back to ourselves. But what I will need from yourself as well, Mr. Reed, is I obviously do need some form of ID. So whether that be a driver's license or passport alongside a proof of address.
I don't have a passport or a driving license.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Do you have
a... I didn't drive over there, so, and I've not got a passport since I was older.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Do you have a cell phone card? I think it's a bus pass up in Scotland, a
Saltire. Oh, not a Saltire, not. I don't have one of them, not.
No, okay, that's not a problem then. All right, so what we can do, if there's obviously no forms of physical ID, do you have potentially letters around you dated within the last 3 months?
Yeah, I have I have social work letters and everything like that. So my kids are on protection orders, so I have them I have court letters as well, and court orders for them with my name on them, which within the last few weeks or not, yeah, as well, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and like maybe a council tax bill or anything that's come through recently?
Yeah,
because that in itself.
I have everything like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I'll do is obviously, yeah, I'll send you the email now with the documents to sign, and also the document that I require from yourself. So it'd be two separate emails. Just reply back to the one that is requesting for proof of address. Just reply back to that one with the attached images, and I'll get them uploaded to your file as well. If there's anything that I've missed, I'll obviously I'll go back to you and have a look myself. But if there's anything that I've missed, I'll be back in contact with you, and I'll be liaising with you.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
But yeah, just to explain that £10,000 and £100,000, the differences is that £10,000, it's a fixed payment by the award regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. But obviously the individually assessed payment that we're going to be proceeding with of up to £100,000, that's obviously decided, as I said, by a closed independent panel on the level of abuse that you've suffered. And you know, based on the severity of what you've, you know, gone through as a young, you know, say teenager, so we say, and a child as well. You know, the panel will decide what kind of guidance.
I would say the cases are a lot less severe and a lot worse, but to be honest, everybody's different. I understand that. But obviously, mine didn't adjust the date. I wasn't adjusted in care. Stuff happened to me as well whilst I was in care.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I do apologise, and we'll do everything.
Oh, you know, that's not to do with you. If I could get an in for it, that would be in half day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course, but no, but what we'll do as a law firm is, you know, we'll fight to every client you've come to, you know, get the best we can, the best outcomes we can for you, for yourself, Mr. Reed, okay? So, yeah, just to make sure that I have everything correctly. For some some reason your date of birth hasn't said in my system. What was it again, sorry?
What did you say, sorry?
I said for some reason your date of birth hasn't said in 1992. Yeah. Okay.
And then Valley Gardens South, what number was that one, sorry? Aye, that's right, Valley Gardens South, 153, yeah.
153, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, it did not save when I entered it, so I do apologize.
Weird, that. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. I'll get it back when I'm done. Sorry, I'm talking to my neighbour there.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I was about to ask what that to me. I have click save this time, Mr. Reed, so it shouldn't go on me again. All right, so yeah, as I said, I get these emails across to yourself. So we can get the ball rolling. And if there's anything that I may have missed or I need additionally, I'll be back in touch with yourself. But
for
the meantime, Mr. Reed, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for being so understanding as well. You made it a lot easier, even if it was quite lengthy. You made it easier enough.
Well, I'm glad I have that. You know, that's the process that we want to make for yourself.
You're doing a good job. Just keep doing what you're doing because you made it easier enough for me today, bud.
Well, yeah, it's not the nicest of circumstances you've been through. So.
Nah, isn't it? But hey, well, my kids have never been through all that, so that's what I want.
You're doing something right. If that's what you're saying to me, so happy days, Mr. Reed.
Exactly.
So you go and enjoy the rest of your morning for what's left of it. And if there's anything else, we'll
right, no worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Speed.
Okay, well,
see you soon. Bye now.